Welcome to Career Tours. This week, Daily Non-Negotiables, Part 1. The questions this cast answers are, what are daily non-negotiables? What should my daily non-negotiables be? And how do I manage my non-negotiables? Being British, I don't like to brag. But as Mark says, it ain't bragging if you did it. And we ended quarter four of 2022 with no available days for our presenters to visit clients and give them training. There wasn't one more day in the calendar. So there were some people that missed out and they had to book their training for Q1. And so Q1 is already filling up and Q2 will do the same. So if you were thinking, just thinking about having one of our presenters come and train your team, then talk to Maggie now so that you can have the pick of the available dates. Just email her at customerservice@manager-tools.com. She'll be happy to work with you on dates and delivery and anything else you need to talk about. If you look up online rules of the army, there's a whole bunch of them. But Mark always says this one is the second rule of the army, which is if it's stupid but it works, it's not stupid. And the list of non-negotiables, which we're going to talk about today, are things that you think you would probably remember to do every day. And nobody has to remind you to do email, except sometimes like email takes all day because you just don't check it off at 9 o'clock or whatever. There's a whole bunch of things which may seem unnecessary to have a checklist or to have some way of managing, but actually it's a pretty vital part of successful people's routines. And it's, you know, that thing that it keeps the lights on, it keeps the trains running on time. It's that routine and rhythm of days that really helps people keep the minutiae down to a reasonable level so that they can work on the other things. And it's a foundation so that you can work on the things that take creativity or complex thought because the little things are taken care of already.
Yeah. And I think that's what David Allen talks about when he talks about making a checklist, that immediate feeling or sense of relief when you make a checklist that it's captured, mm-hmm. right? Like I know the steps and I can free my brain up. And it's funny because Jocko Willink, have you ever heard of Jocko mm-hmm. Willink?
Yeah.
He has a book called Discipline Equals Freedom. I think of checklists as the discipline,
yes.
right? So that your mind can be free all the other times. So our outline for today is what are daily non-negotiables? Use a daily repeating checklist. Put these things on your checklist. Check your calendar. Check email 3 times a day. Check inboxes. Check your task lists. Clean your desk. And then add your list. And we'll go through some ideas for that.
So first of all, what is a daily non-negotiable that we've already been talking about for 5 minutes? So if you think of the equivalent for your body, there are non-negotiables, which are you have to eat every day or at least every 3 months or something, right? You have to drink every 5 days, something like that. You have to sleep every 24 hours. You have to bathe occasionally, otherwise other people don't like you. But there are things that you have to do on a repeating basis that keep you alive. And there are equivalents in your work life. And again, we don't think terribly much about the fact that we have to eat. We think a lot about what we're going to eat.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what's for dinner, Mum? But we don't think, we assume that dinner's going to happen because it has to happen, at least on a fairly regular basis. And that's what these tasks are at work. They're things that have to happen. You don't need to think about them terribly much. You might think about the content when you get there, but you don't need to think about whether or not they should happen because they should happen.
Exactly.
And they kind of fall into 3 categories of things you do every day, every week, or every month. And they are not your main job, a big job that's better broken down into smaller ones, and a hygiene factor. So we'll explain what those are and some examples, and hopefully the whole thing will start to coalesce for people.
Yeah, let's start with not your main job. Your main job almost certainly has other guardrails in place. It's got project plans, standard operating procedures, there are deadlines, there are meetings, there's other forms of guidelines or collaboration designed to ensure that the work gets done. And if you miss doing what is your main job for even just a couple of days, people will notice and you'll start to hear about it and you'll get, hopefully, feedback. And, you know, even if you're not monitoring your main job closely, it's still moving forward because of all the other things that you have around it or in place to kind of just guide that momentum. It's like a glacier just moving along at that pace to get things, or, you know, to keep moving forward and progressing. And that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about that. The non-negotiables are not your main job.
Because that happens all by itself usually. So the next one is a big job better broken down into smaller ones. And there are plenty of jobs that fall into the important but not urgent quadrant of Eisenhower's matrix. So if you think of something important but not urgent, like quarterly check-in on your reviews, it's important because it's what keeps you, makes sure you get to the end of the year and you've hit your goals, but it's never urgent. And so it's one of the things that's never gets done, because the things that get done are the things that are urgent because people are asking you about them. So things like preparing annual reviews, strategic planning, which we all put off, tidying up your hard drive, because there's never a good time for that. research, analysis, networking, they're things that make a significant difference, but not now, not in this day, not in this week.
Yeah, I think of these things as like, these are the things that are reschedulable.
Yes.
You see it and you go, oh, I can move that.
And then suddenly you realize it's been 6 months and you still haven't done it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. They're like things in your house, right? And the secret, or one of the secrets to getting these things done, is to break them up into much smaller pieces so that you can do a little bit every day. So if you've got to do strategic planning, like, it just sounds scary. It sounds like I need a week in a hotel.
Yeah.
Like,
clear the decks.
Yeah, exactly. Or maybe in an Airbnb that's on a mountain where I can't be disturbed. Whereas, actually, today I could go to the internet, do a Google search, and download 3 outlines for what people suggest about strategic planning, right? And read them. And then tomorrow I could read them. If you break it down into smaller pieces, it's much more doable. So, you know, if your annual review is due in 12 weeks, you could spend 15 minutes today looking for emails that support what you want to say about one of your directs. And then tomorrow you do a different direct until you've got all of the email support that you need. And then you start on documents or other evidence. And by the time that you get to the actual, I have to do the annual reviews now, you've done all these little pieces and you can just bring it all together. So you turn a task that sounds like you need a week on a mountain into 15-minute tasks. And then the essential is that you do 15 minutes every day. And that's why you need a non-negotiables list.
Exactly. Imagine sitting down to do your annual reviews and you're 90% done.
Oh, that would be so nice, right?
That would be so great. And it's possible. I mean, same thing with, you know, when we think of one of our, you know, Hall of Fame constantly referenced career tools casts is building your network. And think about networking and being able to, yeah, you say, here are a list of all the people I want to keep in touch with. It's a daunting list. I can't possibly reach out to all of them, you know, but if you reach out to one person a day, just to touch base, over the course of a year, you'll have connected, you know, on only work days, with 200 people over the course of a year.
Or 100 people twice, or 50 people 4 times, or whatever.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
There's 222 work days in a year, at least there was when I worked in HR in the UK. So, you know, 222 days you can reach out to someone.
Yeah, just breaking it down.
And it just sounds so much easier than, oh, by the way, you're going to write 200 Christmas cards tomorrow. And that sounds like a big job.
Uh-huh. Yes, for sure. And then we have hygiene factors. The term hygiene factors comes from Frederick Herzberg, who did research into employee satisfaction in the 1960s. He discovered that there are 2 factors in the workplace, one which provides satisfaction and one which causes dissatisfaction. And they act independently of one another. So where working conditions are poor, workers are dissatisfied. But where working conditions are fair or even good, that doesn't motivate employees. Employees are motivated by something else. They accept that, you know, fair conditions or even good conditions are just the minimum standard. And to motivate employees, there has to be another factor. There's got to be challenging work or recognition or responsibility. And I think of this as when you go out in public, you go to a restaurant or you go to a store and you go into the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's clean, you go, well, yeah, of course it's clean. It's supposed yes. to be clean.
And if it's dirty, you're like, I'm never coming here again.
But if it's a mess, if it's dirty, you go, what in the world happened here?
Yeah.
I got to get out of here.
Right. A clean restroom isn't, oh, I'm going to go to this Target because it has clean restaurants, rooms. But yeah. a dirty one is, I'm not going to that Target. I'll go to a different one, for example.
Exactly.
Sorry, Target. Just a bit picked on you, but. but exactly. So I'm motivated to stay away from the bad thing, but I'm not motivated towards the good thing because the good thing mm-hmm. is just what I expect. So you need something else. And daily non-negotiables are like the hygiene factors of your productivity. Without them, you don't hit the minimum level of productivity. And in fact, productivity is probably, or effectiveness is probably getting worse or is negatively impacted. If you get them right, you're not a superstar. It's not like these things are going to change everything. But without them, it will change everything, but negatively. It's like you say about dress in interviews, right? No one's going to hire you because of what you're wearing, but they will not hire you because of what you're wearing.
Absolutely. You know, we have a thing, the and not but rule, right? But I think of this is the but rule. If you don't do these small things, these hygiene factors, but you're a rock star in everything else, there's always going to be someone, whether people are talking about potential promotions or potential, you know, projects that someone could take on, there's always going to be that, you know, Andrew is really good at this and he's really good at that, but it takes 3-4 days to get a response to an email, right? There's always just that little but, and just this helps you take out the possibility that someone's going to say, oh, but he or she like misses the mark on this little thing, you know, because someone else notices those things too. It's just, it's not urgent. And so it doesn't get said and doesn't get talked about.
So in tech circles, these are known as wellness checks. They're the short checks that are done every day to make sure everything's running smoothly. Doing them doesn't improve the system, but it stops things going very, very wrong. So if you're in tech and you've heard of wellness checks, this is the same kind of thing.
Yeah, and we do that here. I mean, there's always things that our tech team will say they discovered in a wellness check, and they discovered it, which means it didn't become some massive big deal where we've got to stop the presses and rectify that issue. It allows you the ability to prioritize and manage that more effectively.
During November and December, we replay two sets of podcasts, which are important and timely to the season. Annual reviews during Thanksgiving and the goals series over Christmas. There are nearly 1,500 podcasts, and there's no way we can replay them or even bring them all to your attention at the moment that you need it. And that's why we created the Map of the Universe. If you go to managertools.com and look at the top right-hand corner, there's a thing that looks like a Sputnik. If you press that, it gives you a mind map of all of the podcasts. We made it so it's an easy way for you to find the advice that you need right when you need it. I promise you there's some diamonds buried there, some favorites of mine and Mark's and Kate and Sarah's that we wish we could replay, but we can't. There's just not enough time. So take advantage of the Map of the Universe and find the podcast that answers the question you have right now. So how are we going to manage these non-negotiables?
Well, it ought not be a surprise. We are going to recommend something
something
called,
you've heard of before.
Something you may have heard of before. It's a list where you check things off. We call it a checklist.
It's amazing.
We should, We should trademark that.
Yeah, we should. We should. And what's more, it's daily and it repeats. It's amazing. So the problem with these non-negotiables is that they often get dropped in favor of more exciting or urgent tasks. Your own email inbox, you're probably not going to forget. But if you've got responsibility for one of the email inboxes that's shared, or it's on another system, or I check our LinkedIn inbox every day because it's on my daily non-negotiable list, but nobody else would think of it. And if I left it for a day, nobody would notice. And so if there's something urgent going on, I can easily put that task off. And then if I didn't have a list, I would easily forget to ever do that. And sometimes you leave it for a couple of days and then it all blows up in your face and you're like, what happened? It's been 2 days. How did this happen? And a lot of the time, these tasks take next to no time. Checking that LinkedIn thing takes, less than a minute, probably. But if I think I'm going to catch up tomorrow, that task is going to take 2 minutes because there's going to be more things to delete, more things to reply to. You know, the longer you leave it, even if there's only one thing in there a day, if you leave it 5 days, there's five things for you to think about. And that task is going to take five times as long.
And I would imagine if it's anything like some of the other inboxes that we have or that I've been a part of, there's always a chance, you know, there's a probability, there's 10% chance that one thing in there is going to take a little bit longer. It's going to take 5 or 7 minutes rather than just the 1 minute, right? But the longer you let it go, you let it go 3, 4, 5 days, now that probability is multiplied.
Yes.
Because there's a good chance there's going to be 1, 2, or 3 things that's going to have to take 5, 7 minutes. And now you've got a half an hour that's now dedicated to this task, whereas could have just been a minute and maybe max 5 to 7, because you get one of those one oddballs, those anomalies.
And then somebody comes past your desk, because this is now going to take you half an hour, and says, why haven't you done this? And you're like, oh, I'm doing this thing. And they're like, that's so insignificant. Why are you working on that instead? Well, because now it's mounting up on me and it's stressing me out.
Yeah. The probability gets higher if you let it go, right? The probability that's going to take more time. And then the longer it takes, higher probability of an interruption, of something else getting in the way, of there being a fire. Yeah.
It's just worse.
It's an exponential thing.
So if there's a task that doesn't have to be done daily, you can either make repeating checklists for different days of the week or different days of the month, or you can make a separate calendar for those tasks. There's a million recommendations for tech solutions for checklists. But just remember that some things happen on a different cadence. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the daily things, but there are weekly or monthly things that will also benefit from this technique. And we just have to find a different way of making the checklist repeat.
Yeah. And for those things that happen on a cadence, on a weekly, monthly, those additional tasks, put those on your calendar. I mean, you need dedicated time to go through, right, those things that need to be done on a certain rhythm. And honestly, as you're going through and you're making changes to your checklist and you're, you know, evolving your checklist, we're going to talk about that shortly. The act of going through the checklist needs to also be on your calendar. You need that time we say that it's not going to take much time to do each of these individual tasks, but you're going to need time to do the checklist.
Yeah. So 15 minute long tasks take 15 minutes. And, 2 minutes to get yourself into it and 2 minutes to reset the checklist. And, you know, so it's not a lot of time, but it is time. And if you don't put it on your calendar, you'll end up doing it at 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning and not enjoying the fruits of it. You know, the fruit of it is to have it in that block, to get to the end of it and go, yes, my decks are clear. Now I can do the exciting stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, you've got these little tasks that are hanging over your head all day, and it just takes away from your focus. So put something on your calendar that's, you know, you could put wellness checks, you could put AM tasks, you could put non-negotiables, whatever you want to title it, just so that you know what that space on your calendar is for, and put it on your calendar every day, preferably at the same time of day. It's predictable. You're in a, you can get in a routine around it. And then you probably want to, you know, your routine or your schedule better than we do. You know what time or around what time, if there's going to be a fire, when that fire is going to arise, yeah. right? And sometimes that is when someone else gets into the office
because exactly.
they're the one who, you know, they're the one who checks up on something else, and that usually could be a catalyst for a fire. It could be there's certain processes that happen. It could be when shift changes happen. There's a lot of different things, but you have an idea. And so just put it before that's going to happen so that if that fire arises, you're already done. You've covered all your non-negotiables and you can move on to the next thing. It's the only way you can guarantee that you're going to get through all of your checklist without being interrupted.
So initially, you won't know how long it's going to take to get through the checklist. So what you want to do is make a note after a day and then after a week or two, and then you can start adjusting the calendar block to sort of whatever your average is ending up as and start reducing it. So a month after a month, reduce it by 5 minutes and see if you can get the checklist done quicker. And in 2 months, try and make it 10 minutes. Now, you're never going to get it all the way down to nothing because that's the whole point of this.
Mm-hmm.
But the faster you can get through it, the faster you can get to the important things, the interesting things, the work you want to do, the work that is your main job. So there is some benefit in being able to get through it quickly and efficiently yeah. and effectively. Like, you don't want to drop the standard, but there is some benefit in trying to condense the time that this takes.
Yeah. And doing this work regularly is what allows you to keep the noise of it to a dull roar, right? That's what we talked about. If you stay on top of it, then it really frees you up to have a, you know, predictable routine. You know how long it's going to take within a margin of error. And then you can really focus on the things that you want or ought to be spending your time and mental energy on. And this is where we're going to talk a little bit about how this checklist could, and I guess probably should, change a little bit,
yeah.
right, Wendy?
I
like, as you go through.
Pretty regularly.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, when you start doing it, there's things you forgot, or there's things you realize, I do this weekly, it would be so much easier if I did it daily. Mm-hmm. And so you add things. And then once you have a fairly settled list, things change around you. So your responsibilities change, and that'll move to some, you know, you've got responsibility for something and it'll go to someone else and you'll get a new responsibility, or a project will end and you don't need to check that website anymore, or there's a new task from your boss that needs to be done daily. Like, things are constantly changing, and change the checklist to keep up with what your tasks are right now, because the moment it's out of date, it's almost useless to you. It has to be, these are the things I have to do. If you start putting nice to have things on there, you start, it takes longer and you start avoiding it. And if there's tasks that aren't yours anymore, it's just cluttering up what you can see. So the moment the list is OBE, then you've lost the advantage. So keep it up to date.
Right. I think that's a great point. And I do think you touched on another point that is worth just maybe repeating or restating for folks. There will be, or there's a strong chance that there will be, a period of where this balloons.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll do it and you'll go, oh, this is kind of helpful. Like, this is getting things done. And then you go, well, you know, maybe you start to see things differently and you start to say, okay, I could break this thing down and add this to my daily non-negotiables checklist. Or you get a new project and you go, oh, well, maybe I should be checking on that,
mm-hmm.
you know, every day too. And so there will be a period where this balloons a little bit, and which is why I think it's so important that point of push yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Reduce it by 5 minutes after a month so that you are mitigating any of that ballooning factor.
Tendency.
Yeah, for sure.
Because there's something nice about going down the checklist and checking everything off. But remember,
these
are hygiene factors. These are not the things that are getting you ahead. They're the things that are keeping you level. And so if mm-hmm. you start putting more on there, you're taking up time, but it's not good time because it's not stuff that will get you ahead.
And I would even say this too, Wendy. I just had a thought, and it's kind of off topic, but you correct me if I'm wrong. I know this is a career tools cast, so this isn't manager tools. We're not talking to managers, but some people listening to this cast are managers. And often I work with managers who struggle with delegating and they're not sure what to delegate. And I think of some of these things, maybe not all of them, mm-hmm. right? But some of these things on this list could be great initial things to kind of test the waters for delegation.
Yes.
And what a cool opportunity to have these already kind of fully formulated. You know what goes into these tasks. They're fairly simplistic and straightforward, and you can start to kind of test the waters with your directs and say, this is something that, you know, I do every day, and have them try their hand at it. And because they're not urgent, mm-hmm. it's okay if there's a little bit of, it'd be like you missing it by a day, which we've talked about is okay. There's a risk, but if that risk is at the cost or benefit, I would even say, of growing and developing some of your directs, from a manager's standpoint, that's a pretty good thing to do.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So we've told you what the list is, and we've given you some ideas of the types of things that are on the list. Next week, we're going to tell you some ideas for actually what to put on your list. So we'll give you a week while you'll go to work every day and think, oh, maybe this should be on mm-hmm. my list. Maybe this should be on my list. So by the time we come back next week, you'll have started to form your list, and then we'll give you some more ideas.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.